Good morning, everyone. How is the assignment going on? Assignment 3, conceptual model. You have a submission after a few days, right? So I hope you all are working and it will be complete before the deadline, right? Okay, so let's recall what we did last time. Last time means yesterday, right? What did we learn yesterday? I have this bad habit of recalling what we did, otherwise I don't come in the flow. So what we did, help me. Look at your notes, try to go back. What we did yesterday? We did conceptual model 2, logical model, and how many steps we did so far? We studied some steps to convert the conceptual model to logical model. So what were those steps? Do you remember any one of them? We actually studied 7 steps. But do you remember any one of them? It's not a test. I'm not testing you. Okay? So you can answer wrong also. There is no marks here. What did we do? Again, please bear with me. I'm a novice here. So there will be many, many problems before I'll get better with this. And there will be many problems in the transition between that and how I am writing. So what was the step one? Yeah, make a relation for the strong entities, right? How do we do it? So we deal with the strong entities conversion in the step one. How do we do it? We create a new table for every strong entity, right? And we create the primary key. We only include which attribute? Simple attribute or simple parts of composite attributes. Do we include multi-valued attribute at this stage? No, we don't include multi-valued attributes. So we just leave them as it is. We just take in the table simple attribute or simple parts of composite attribute, and we already have the primary key, so we specify that. What do we do in step two? We handle the weak entities. How do we convert the weak entity? We again create a new table. We include all the attributes, right? And one of the attributes should be partial primary key, right? So we just include them as it is. Again, the same rule apply. You cannot include multi-valued attribute of a weak entity at that stage, right? And then how do we create the primary key here for the weak entity? Remember from yesterday, pets example? We try to figure out which is the owner entity. And we take the primary key of the owner entity and we include primary key of owner entity here as foreign key, right? And then the primary key of this new table is combination of partial primary key and the foreign key, which is coming actually from the owner entity type. Remember the example of pets or remember the example of dependents. In case of dependents, we had dependent name as, and there was relationship, and there was date of birth, right? And how do we do it? Our partial primary key was this. What was the owner entity type for dependent? Employee. And in employee, we have social security number as primary key, right? So we take the primary key of owner entity type and we include it here as foreign key, making this relation. And then the only thing is that primary key of the weak entity type, which is the combination of foreign key along with the partial primary key, right? And then the step 3 was 1:1 binary relation. How do we deal with 1:1 binary relationship types? Sorry. How do we deal with it? By taking the primary key of one of them and including in the other one as foreign key. So I'm not going into the detail. And the step 4 was 1:n binary relationship. Again, we take the primary key of the participating entity type, which is on the one side, and we include in the relation as foreign key in the relation which is on the n side. So again, for step 3 and 4, we don't create new tables. We just deal with them 1:1 and 1:many binary relationships with the help of including the foreign keys, right? And then the step 5 was M2N binary relationship. And for M2N binary relationship, you need to create a new relation. Include the relationship attribute, include the primary keys of participating entity types as foreign key in this new relation, and the combination of these foreign keys becomes the primary key in the new relation, right? And the step 6 was conversion of multi-valued attributes. Actually, this we did on last Friday when very few students were present. I don't know how many of you have seen the stream. So the next one is, step 6 is multi-valued attributes. And if you remember, in the department, we had one right? Do you remember this? So when we are doing the step 1, the department table is already there with department number and department name. Using step 1, we don't include department location here. So when we come to step 6, then we convert the location attribute. And for location attribute, you need to create a new table. So this is a new table, department location. Because this location dependent on was part of the department entity, so we take the primary key of department and we put it here as foreign key, and the combination of these two becomes the primary key, right? So this we already did. And then we studied step 7, which was about any relationship which has a degree higher than 2. That means all the relationships where the participating entity types are more than 2. And we saw yesterday also one of that. And for any relationship, this is dealt just like M2N. So for any relationship where the number of participating entity types are more than 2, you need to create a new relation, include the relationship attribute, include the primary key of all the participating entity types as foreign key, and the combination of these foreign key becomes the primary key of this relation. So we saw all these construct, how to convert it into relational model. And we also saw, we did some examples also. So what is remaining now? The remaining part remaining is, what I am saying, the remaining part is how to convert the specialization generalization. And that we are going to do today, and plus we will talk about some of the integrity constraints also. Whenever there is a primary key, foreign key combination. So we have seen these four cases, do you remember, in the case of specialization generalization? Do you remember the examples of these? The specialization can be mandatory or optional. At the same time, it can be disjoint or overlapping. Do you remember some of the examples? Okay, I assume you are not saying anything, so I assume that you all remember, right? So how to convert these specialization? There are various ways and various rules depending on what kind of specialization do you have, right? So this is an example of mandatory overlapping specialization, right? Why it is mandatory and why it is overlapping, do you remember? Anyone? Why we are calling it mandatory? Yes? Yeah, that's correct. All the users which are there in the superclass must belong to one of the subclass. So all user has to be either staff, they should be part of staff, or they should be part of student. You will not find a user who is not part of any of the subclass. Right? And that's why it is mandatory. Means all the member of the superclass must be member of subclasses, one or more subclasses, right? This is and overlapping because a user can be staff as well as student at the same time. So a particular user can belong to more than one subclass, right? So that's why this is overlapping also. How do we convert it? We create a single relation and we include one or more type attribute or discriminator to distinguish the type of each tuple. So let's see the example. This will be our example. We will create one single table with all the attributes of superclass as well as all the attributes of every subclass. And you can see here there is one thing. Can you see these two? Were these attributes already there in the subclass or superclass? Is these attributes available here or here or here? No. We put the ename. Ename is here. First name is here. Last name is here. Employee number, department number is here. Student number, program code is here. And we put some type attribute. These are some additional attributes we are putting. Because it is an overlapping specialization, so a particular user with this email, first name and last name, may have employee number and department. And also at the same time, if the user is also a student, can also have student number and program code. So we are putting two discriminator or two type attribute And the value of these type attribute will determine us, will tell us whether the user is part of which subclasses. So if we try to visualize the data, can you see here? The first user, this user is only a staff member, so staff flag becomes 1, and we filled the data for that user, for the staff. This is the data which is required for the staff. This user is not a student, so that's why student flag has the value 0. And then because this user is not a student, so there is no student number or the value for the other student attribute. So we will put null here. Right? And now see another user. This user is not a staff member, so the value here is 0. There is no value for here, so we will put null. Null is used when there is no value or the attribute is not applicable. So this user is only a student, so the student flag is 1. And then we have value for the student attributes, right? And the third user is actually belongs to both the subclasses. So staff flag is 1, and there are values for the attribute applicable for the staff subclass. Student flag is also 1, and there are value for the attribute required for the student subclass, right? So when there is a overlapping, you need actually 2 flags. You can call it anything. You can say type 1, type 2, or subclass 1, subclass 2. The values are again determined by you. You can say true, false instead of 1, 0. You can say YN instead of 1, 0. It depends on you, how you are going to put the values of the flag. So it can be numeric by some binary 0, 1 if the superclass member is applicable or also present in the subclass. You can put 1, otherwise 0, or you can put Y, otherwise no, or you can say full yes and no. It depends on you. So this is the way we convert mandatory overlapping specialization. Here we are trying to achieve usually not many tables, because there are some ways which is applicable for all the type of specialization, but you get lots of tables. And I don't know whether we discussed before what can be the problems in having lots of tables. Okay, let's see another example, then maybe we can compare. This is another example, and this is the case of optional overlapping. So if it is optional overlapping, the previous case was mandatory overlapping, where we were making single relation with 2 additional attributes, which are the flags. Here it is optional overlapping. What do we mean by optional overlapping? We already understand why it is optional. Anyone? So we have staff, that is the superclass, and we have 2 subclasses, researcher, lecturer, and there are some subclass attributes as well, and we are saying it's optional, it's not mandatory. What does it mean? Yes? Can you please repeat? Yes, that's correct. That means there can be a staff member who is neither researcher or lecturer. There can be a staff member who is only researcher. There can be a staff member who is only lecturer. And there can be a staff member who is both researcher and lecturer. Right? So there can be some staff member who doesn't belong to any of the subclass. That's why it is optional. And in this case, if your specialization is of this type, then we create two relation. Actually, it is made in the next. If you say, okay, so see here, we made two tables, one for staff and one for academic staff. And can you see here, we have two attributes, so we are making two relations, one for the superclass and one for the all the subclasses. And see here, in the superclass relation, we have both the attribute of the superclass, employee number and department number, and primary key is employee number. And then we created one table for all the subclasses, and we are calling it as academic staff, because there may be some other kind of staff who are not researcher and lecturer, maybe some admin staff. And then we are putting employee number, we are putting researcher flag, lecturer flag, and date, and academic title. And the primary key will be employee number, and foreign key will be employee number, and which is referencing. So if we try to make it in this way, let's understand it first in this way, and then maybe it will be clear. So we have a staff table with employee number and with the department, and this is your primary key, right? And then we will make a single table for all the subclasses, and we are calling maybe academic staff, and we will include researcher flag and the attribute of researcher subclass, lecturer flag and the attribute of lecturer subclass, and now we need to connect them, right? Because there are some employees who are academic staff, so we need some way to connect it. And second thing is, there is no primary key in this subclass table, right? So we need to find some way. So what we are going to do, we will take the primary key of superclass and we will put it here as foreign key, right? And this foreign key will be the primary key of this new relation. Right? Now is it more clear? By just looking like that. So we will have like this, and then if you will see in the form, yes. You can use default. We will learn it after the break. So you can put the value default as null for end date and academic title, for both of them. That can be the default value. And when creating the rows, if you are supplying the values for one of them, the new value will come. And if you are not supplying the value while inserting the row, automatically null will be there. And in the same way, you can have default value for RF and LF, 0 initially. And if a staff belongs to researcher, while creating that row, you will provide the value 1. And if you are not providing any value, then it is automatically zero. Right? So while creating the table for that, you can provide the default value for each one of them. Okay. So this is with the data. Now you can maybe, it's easier to visualize now. So we have four staff members here, and only three of them are academic staff. So employee number 263, if you see here, is a researcher as well as lecturer. So the flag values are one for both, and that's why we have a value for the researcher attribute as well as value for the lecturer attribute. Employee number 277 is not part of any of the subclass, and that's why this was a optional, because not all staff members who are available here should be member of subclass, right? So there are four members, but only three of them are appearing in the subclasses. So 277 is not an academic staff. 312 is an academic staff, but this one is only a researcher. So see here, we have researcher value, we have the attribute value for the researcher, but we don't have any value for the lecturer part. And the last one is a lecturer only. So we don't have a value for the researcher part, and we have the value for the lecturer part. And this person is both researcher and lecturer. And that's why we have all the values. Is that clear what we are doing? So a superclass member can belong to both subclasses, in this case 263, or it can belong to none of the subclasses, in this case 277, or it can belong to one of the subclass, in this case 312 and 344. Right? And then we are coming to mandatory disjoint. And according to this, because it is disjoint, whenever there is disjoint, we don't need any discriminatory attribute, any additional attribute by ourselves. So it is a disjoint one, and for this mandatory and disjoint, we need to create one relation for each subclass superclass pair. So we will have one for this, and we will have one for this. Right? So we will have two. And each one of them, we will include all the attribute of the superclass which the master student is inheriting, plus the attribute of its own. It's a little bit straightforward in this case. And similarly for the PhD students, we will make a table including the attribute it is inheriting from the superclass as well as attribute of its own, and it is inheriting the primary key. So this will be the two tables we will get as a result of mandatory disjoint specialization. This is written in the back here as well. And if you see with the data, it will look something like that. there won't be any necessity for foreign keys in this case. And the last one is optional disjoint, one for the superclass and one for each subclass. So we will have in the superclass table, we will only have superclass attribute, staff number, staff name. We already know the primary key. In the subclass, we will have its attributes. And then, because we need the connection, so we will take the primary key of the superclass and we will put it here as foreign key in both of the subclass tables. Referencing the staff number of staff table, and the only thing remaining is to make up the primary key of these new table, which will be the foreign key itself. So you will come up with this. Is that clear? Okay. And this one, if you are not sure what type of specialization yours is, you can always use this one to any type of specialization. This is kind of a general rule which you can use for any type of specialization, although it is written that it is advisable to use for optional disjoint, but it can be used for any type of specialization. If you are not sure, you can use this anywhere. But the problem with this is, it ends up with the maximum number of tables. You are having one for superclass and one for each of the subclass. Now, what can be the problems of having too many tables? If it works for all kind of specialization, I would not like to remember all the other three. And I can use it for any type of specialization. It's a good thing. We don't need to remember the other thing. But the problem here is that it ends up with lots of tables. In the previous cases, if you remember, there were two tables. And in many cases, there were single table. Right? And if you look at the specialization, it is more or less same. Every time there is a superclass and two subclasses. In the first three, we are having either one table finally or two tables finally. But in this case, we are having three tables. What can be the problems of having many tables connected through foreign key, primary key combination? Every time, suppose you want to know, this is the previous one, I forgot to change the name and the data. Okay, so what can be the problem? If you want to know all the details of permanent staff members, what will be your query? You want to know the number, name and salary of, that means all the attribute of permanent staff members. What will be your query? You have two tables, right? Part of the information is in the staff table and part of the information is in permanent staff table. Yeah. you need to join the staff with permanent staff with the joint condition, and then you can only get all the data about each permanent staff member. Similarly, if you want to retrieve all the data of contractual staff members, again you need to join staff with contractual table. What the problem in join? No problem. We know how to join. What difference does it make if we are getting the data from single table or multiple table? Yeah. Okay, first of all, your query has to be correct. Let's suppose we know how to put those queries, and that's not a problem. We know SQL very much. What can be the other problem? Getting the data from a single table and getting the data from multiple tables based on join condition. Forget about the complexity of the query. It will be slower. So if you want, if there are so many user queries which is based on all the details of the permanent staff, it may not be a good thing to keep them in divided into multiple tables. Although multiple tables always give rise to more normalized relations, which is better for insertion, deletion, updation, but the response performance gets low. Yeah. Actually, when we split, the duplicacy is less. When we combine it and put it in a single table, there is more duplicacy, and there are many chances where you are putting the null values, like we have seen in the previous example. If you are trying to put the data in single, the duplicacy will increase. There are many, many attributes which are not applicable for many of the rows, so there will be lots of values with null, but the performance will increase. So you are not using the memory efficiently, but performance will be better if there are fewer tables. On the other hand, if you are dividing the data into multiple tables, then duplicacy is usually less. There are less chances where the attribute values are less, null, but the performance will be lower. Yes. If you are saying this, all this data in the single table, so let's suppose you are putting everything in one, right? This is the staff table. You have staff number, you have staff name. You may work with the flags, or you may not have the flags, but then you need to understand yourself while putting the transactions. So suppose if we have staff flags, if we are putting, so this is permanent flag and then salary, then contractual flag, and then we have payment per hour. If we try to fill the data, so we have many staff members, there is some name, because it is or, so a particular staff member can only belong to one of them, right? So they will either have the value for salary, or they will have the value for, in that case, this will be null, or they will have the value for payment per hour. So for example, this is here, so this will be null. You will never find that a particular staff member have value for both. Suppose this one is also permanent staff member, this one is also permanent staff member. In this case, these values will be null. Again, as I said before, you may not have these flags. How will you determine then that which one is permanent and which one is contractual? By these null and non-null values. If a staff member has a value for salary, which is not null, that means that person is a permanent staff. If the staff member has a value for payment per hour and null value for salary, that means that person is a contractual member. So you may get away with these extra attribute flag values also, or you may keep it also. In this case, it will be one here and it will be like this, right? So you may have the flags and or you may not have the flags. Now if we created the single table, you can see there is lots of null values. And this we are talking about only 4 employees. Imagine if we have 1,000 and 2,000 or 3,000 employees. All the permanent staff members will have the null values for payment per hour. And all the contractual staff will have null values for salary. So lots of nulls. We will see the normalization on Friday, and then you will see it's not a good idea to have lots of nulls. Can you imagine the data if we are making 3 tables? It was a or, so each one of them can appear in only one of them, right? And suppose here is the salary and here is the payment per hour. Yes. This will... you need to write some kind of trigger or something before and after insertion so that you can only insert in one of them. You cannot work it out with the things which we now know with SQL. So for making that kind of restriction, you may need to write a trigger before inserting that it can only go in one of them, right? Okay, so we talked about all type. So there are many, many alternatives we have seen just now. In one of the alternative, we have one table for superclass and one single table for all the subclasses. Another one, we have one table for each superclass-subclass relationship. In another one, we have as many tables as there is superclass and subclasses. And now we need to discuss this. But before we can discuss this, it's time for break. So let's take a break and then we will continue. All right, shall we start? Okay, so please pay attention now. Shall we start? All ready? Okay, so this is one of the specialization. What kind of specialization it is? It is mandatory as well as overlapping, because it's written here and, right? So how do we convert it? In case of mandatory and, let's see what rules apply. Although we can have the general rule also. This is mandatory and we create a single relation with the flags, right? Okay, so how will we do? We will have a single table about the building, and we will include all the attribute of the superclass, which is building ID and address, and there may be many other we don't know. And then we can have commercial flag. Is it hazardous? I'm not writing all of that. And then we can have residential flag. And how many units this has? Right? If we will try to see this with the data, this is our primary key. All of them will have the address. For all commercial buildings, this flag will be set and this flag will not be set. For all the residential buildings, this will be set and this will not be set. And then for the commercial, we will have some value here, maybe yes, no, I don't know. And then we will not have any value here, because 2, 3, 4 are not commercial buildings. We will not have any value here. And we will have some values here. How many units are there in that particular residential building? So this is how it will look like. Right? Is that okay? Shall we move? Okay, can you see this? This is we made when we discussed one data requirements case study. So there are two superclasses and we have both the specializations are mandatory or. And then we have a relationship many to many also. So if we go that stepwise, it will not work if we will try, because it's better to first convert the specializations and then come to the relationship later on. Which rule is applied for mandatory or? Let's see. This is mandatory or. One for each superclass subclass pair. So we will have as many tables as there are subclasses. Although these are some rules which advise you how to create, but sometimes it depends on how you want to retrieve the data later on also. So these are not very strict rule. You just need to keep track of that. If there is any overlapping, then the matter becomes a little bit complicated, because a superclass member can belong to more than one subclass. So always make sure that you have room for storing all those details. Okay, so let's first go through the book rules and try to create a relational schema for this. So we will start with converting the specialization. And we should have one table for each superclass, subclass relation, right? So if we will try to convert this part, then how many tables we will have? 3, right? One for each superclass, subclass, right? So we can have one for customer, employee, one for customer, which are institutions, and one last for customers, which are individuals. Right? And in all three of them, we will include the attributes which a particular subclass is inheriting from the superclass, as well as attributes of its own. So all three of them along with the attribute of its own. So in customer employee, we will have customer ID, we will have customer name, we will have address, and we will have department name. For institution, we will have customer ID, name again, all the three attributes it is inheriting from the superclass, address, and finally contact person name. And for the individual, this doesn't have any attributes of its own, so it will only have the attribute which it is inheriting. So we will have customer ID, we will have name, and we will have address. We already know the primary key, right? So these will be the primary key. Okay? So we have converted this left side part. Now let's try to do the same for this part. Okay? This is the similar kind of specialization. So you can think it will be done in a similar way. So we will have one for investment fixed deposit. So investment, which are type of fixed deposit, we will have one. So that is investment ID, inheriting from the superclass. Time duration, how much time this fixed deposit is for, and what is the scheme. And similarly for investment, which are type of debentures, we will have investment ID. We have time duration again, and we have the type of debenture. And finally, for the share, so investment is share type, and we will have investment ID, and we will have what type of share this is. Very nice. I'm enjoying this. Okay. So then we have the primary key. All right. So both the specializations are converted. So it's not like that you have to follow the steps in that particular order, because if we go through the order, then we will create first, because this is a strong entity, then we will create this, and then we will come to the specialization. It is different type of, so there is no actually table for super type anyway in this type of specialization. And if we try to convert this many-to-many relationship before we make the tables for this specialization, we don't know what are the participating entity types and we don't have their tables so far. So it's better to wait for this many-to-many relationship. First create the specialization tables and then come back to the relationship table. So now we will create the relationship. It is a many-to-many relationship, right? So, for many-to-many relationship, how do we convert it? How do we convert a many-to-many? We create a new table, right? So, let's suppose I am creating a new table. Let me use a new color. So, we will know that. Okay. So this is invests, right? Include the relationship attribute. What are the participating entity types? Investment and customer. What is the primary key of customer? Whichever type of customer is there, the primary key is always customer ID. So customer ID will come as foreign key. We will just see where it will reference. And similarly, investment ID, again for all the investment, the primary key is investment ID. So that will be included as foreign key. And you need to reference it with many tables. But before that, let's create the primary key of this. Primary key of this relationship will be combination of this foreign key. And when you will create this as a foreign key, you need to reference it with the primary key of this table, with also the primary key of this table, and with also the primary key of this table. It should relate with all three of them. And similarly for the investment, you will reference here, and you will reference here. So the same attribute is related with three different tables, right? And this will be the, so we have total 7 tables. And this will be one relationship table. Is that okay? Alright, so now we need to check something about the constraints. Because whenever there is primary key, foreign key, we need to take some decisions. So once you come up with your final logical model, relational model, then you need to check about the domain constraints. Domain constraints is related with a particular attribute. So how do we define domain constraint? So when we create the table and we say, for example, employee number, so we say it is number type. We are in a way defining the domain constraint, the domain for this particular attribute. We are saying it is a number type. Only number values can come under the employee number attribute. And then maybe we can have a length. Again, we are specifying the domain constraint that employee number of maximum 11 digits can only come. Right? So this is one of the way of defining the domain constraint. You can also define many other things. For example, you can say not null. That means every time a row will be included, the employee number cannot be null. It should have some values. So every time you will try to insert some value inside a table where employee number is an attribute, You are specifying at the time of creation, you already specified that it is not null. It cannot be null for any of the rows. So we must specify a value. And if you forgot to specify the value while inserting the rows, we have seen the manipulation DML command. If you are doing insert into this table, and if you forgot to specify the value for employee number, it will give you an error and your SQL command will not be executed. Plus, you can also have some default value. So if you forgot to put some value, it will automatically take that default value. Relationship multiplicity, we always do with foreign key, or always the relationships are established with the help of putting the foreign keys in other tables. Entity integrity, which is with the primary key, it has to be always not null. You cannot have null values for an attribute which is making primary key, right? And then you can put some general constraints also on attribute. For example, if there is an age, you can have some check constraint that age should be between always 18 and, for example, 75. If these are staff members, they cannot be less than 18 and they must retire at the age of 75. Right? So these you can put. So you need to define for all the attribute where not null is required. So you need to mention this not null only in those attribute where some value is always expected. And in other attribute, for example salary, you can just say number 11 and you just leave it. You don't need to put not null. That means an employee may have a null value for salary. We didn't specify the value for salary. And then we have the referential integrity constraint with the help of foreign keys. And we must document all these. Now, whenever we have primary key, foreign key combination and a parent table is deleted, what should we do with the child table? There are four ways we can do. No action. That means if you are trying to delete a parent, the child should not, and if there is a child existing, the parent should not be deleted. There is another option, cascade. There is another option, set null or set default if the default value exists. Do you remember the parent-child relationship, how it is? Do you want me to draw? Sorry. Right? This is, we haven't learned the SQL commands, how to create the tables. We will see in few moments. So which one is your parent table? this one is your child, right? The table which has the foreign key is the child table. The table which doesn't have, which has the primary key where that foreign key is referencing, is the parent table. Now, what we were talking about in the slide is, suppose we try to, you know, delete table command, right? Delete from department, where department number is equal to 10. We are trying to execute this SQL statement. So we are trying to delete that. What will happen with these two child rows? That's the question. And when establishing this foreign key at the time of creation of employee table, you can specify four different things. One of the four different things. And what are those things? First of all, you don't specify anything. And in that case, if you are trying to delete the parent and where the child exists, it will not let you delete that parent. So you are specifying nothing in that case while trying to create the foreign key in the employee table. So no action means if you are trying to delete the parent where the children exist, the SQL command will not be executed. It will give you an error. It will say that children exist and violation of referential integrity constraint. But if you have said while creating the foreign key in the child table, cascade option. If you give cascade option, in that case, whenever the parent is deleted, automatically the child will be deleted. So if there is a parent and you gave a command that delete from department where department number is equal to 10, that statement will be successful because while establishing the foreign key, you specified cascade. So whenever you are deleting a parent for which children exist, children will be automatically deleted at the same time. So that is another option while establishing the foreign key. Another third one is, you can say set null. Don't delete the child, set the value of that particular column as null. So in the case of third, what will happen? If you are trying to delete the parent, department number 10, this one, and there are children existing here, so what it is going to do, it will not, because you have said set null. The previous option was cascade. If the option is cascade, parent is deleted, then child is also deleted. If you have given the option set null, so whenever the parent is deleted, because now this is gone, so there is no department with department number 10, so this value doesn't exist anymore. So this value will be set to null. That is the third option whenever you are deleting the parent. And last option is set default, which will only work if you have already specified a default value in the child table. So in this case, while creating the employee table, If you have specified some default value for department number, then whenever the parent is deleted, this value will be set to that default value. That can be 0, that can be whatever you have set. So while creating the table, you need to decide in your particular case which option is more appropriate. Is it okay to delete the child? Or you don't want to delete a parent if the child exists, or it is okay to delete the parent but not the child and set the value to either null or some default value. Now, in this case, how will you handle it? Suppose this is the case. In one table, we have all the postal codes with some other descriptions. And then we have the customer. And we have a customer ID. Which table will have the foreign key? How will you translate it? How it will look in the relational model? Both are strong entities, right? So we will have a table first for postal code, and we have one table for customer, right? And in this we have postcode and maybe some other description. In this we have customer ID, maybe customer name, we have other details, and we have postcode. Actually, I give you the solution. Okay, just don't look at this. Don't look at this. Please forget this. Okay, forget this. Okay, these are two tables. So we created the tables for both the entities, right? Now we need to convert this relationship. What type of relationship it is? One-to-many. How do we deal with one-to-many? By including one of the primary key to other table as foreign key. So whose primary key we will include? Which is on the one side? Postal code is on the one side. And customer is on the N side, many side. We will take the primary key of postcode and we will include in the customer table as foreign key. That's what I did. So we will have postcode here as foreign key, right? That means something like this. We know the primary key in both the tables, right? Okay. So this is your tables. Which option should we establish? Which one is parent? Which one is child? This is a parent table, right? And this one is child table. What do you think? Which option is more appropriate here? No action. You cannot delete a parent if the child exists. Cascade. Whenever a postal code is deleted, delete all the customers belonging to that postal code. Cascade option, null option. A postal code is deleted, set the postcode for that customer as null or default. Yeah. Okay, any other views? Anyone else? Actually, he's right. In this case, we should have actually no action. Why? Because if we will have the cascade option, a postcode is deleted and we will lose all the customer belonging to that particular postcode. If we have, suppose, 10 customers here belonging to that particular postcode, all those rows will be deleted. Is it worthwhile? If a postcode is gone, all the customers should not go in this particular case. First of all, we should not delete a postcode if a child exists. Another most probable case is maybe set null. But I don't know how much it will be applicable in this case. Because in that case, locating the customer by postcode will be very, very difficult. Because the customer will have some address, some building, some all the details, but the postcode will be null. So if you are shipping something to that customer, it will be much more difficult. So I think in this case, as he suggested, one of your peer, we should have no action option. Right? Let's talk about the other cases. Okay. This option. Think. We have blog posts, and with every blog post there are many, many comments. Obviously, the blog post table will be the parent table, and in the comment we will have, for with every comment we will have a attribute which is the blog ID. That means this comment belongs to which blog. What will be more appropriate? If we are deleting a blog post, should all the comments related with that blog post must be deleted at the same time, or should it be set to not null, or no action? Yes. Cascade is a better option. If the blog post doesn't exist anymore, we delete all the comments. Yeah, because will the comments be useful in that case if the blog post itself doesn't exist? And anyway, if you see, this is a weak entity on the right hand side. Can the weak entity instance exist without the owner? So if we are deleting a blog post, it's better to delete all the comments, because those comments, if you will set it to the null, a weak entity instance is existing without an owner entity type. So in this case, cascade is a better option. The last question. All the blog posts are categorized into different subjects. So there may be hundreds of blog posts, and there may be maybe five subjects. And if a subject is deleted, should we delete all the blog posts, cascade? Should we not delete the subject if there are some blog posts? That means no action. Or we can delete the subject and set the blog post subject value as null, maybe. Which one is more appropriate? Anyone? Yeah. Default value. Yeah, we may have in the subject here, if here in the blog post we may be having subject ID here, which will be foreign key, and for this particular attribute we may have a default value, like something like miscellaneous. So if there is no value, take the default value miscellaneous. It doesn't belong to a specific subject. So in this case, either the null option will work, or set to default. Either set to null or set to default. So this is about it. This is the end of logical schema. And then we need to talk about, so we converted our conceptual diagram into logical one. We came up with many, many tables with primary key and foreign key. Now we need to learn what are the SQL commands to create those tables. And that is our, maybe save is a better option. So that is the next thing we are going to study, how to create the tables with primary key, foreign keys, etc., etc. So this is the part we are discussing, DDL compiler, dictionary manager. So what does DDL compiler do? It converts your DDL statements, your SQL commands, with which are starting with either create table command or alter table commands, and it converts them into the tables stored in the system catalog. What does the dictionary manager does? It maintains the system catalog where you have the definition of all the tables created by all the users, as well as there are some system tables as well. So suppose these are your tables, right? So we have parts, we have orders, we have order details. I'm sure you all know about these tables. We dealt with them at one of the assignment, right? Okay, so where are the foreign keys? You didn't create it because I gave you the SQL script for that. So which one are the parent table and which one are the child tables? I don't know whether you saw that that file which I gave you, .sql file. This was the primary key here. And in this case, order number was the primary key when we created the table. And in this case, order number plus part number together is the primary key, as well as this is the foreign key referencing to this table, and this is the foreign key reference. Sorry, I did opposite. It is just the 4 hours speaking now. So my voice is going down, and I don't know how much more it can take. Anyway, so this is the foreign key coming from there, and brain has also stopped working now. So if I say something wrong, please let me know. So these are the foreign key. Which one is the parent table and which one is the child table? Please help me here. This is parent, right? This is also parent. And this is child, right? Usually when we create the table, we create the parent tables first and then the child table. Why? Because whenever we are inserting some values here, for example, order number 1020, that order number should already exist in the order table, right? Similarly, the part number which is in the particular order, that part number should already exist in the part table. So parent should exist before we can create the child, right? So this is the way we need to create the table. So we will create the parts table, orders table, we will establish the primary key in both of them, and then we will create the order details table. And here our primary key is made up of two attributes, so it is a composite key. And then we need to establish two foreign keys. One which is coming from this order number attribute and referencing to the order number attribute of orders table. And another one will be established, and this one which will be referencing to the part number of parts table. So this is all we are going to do. This is one of the example of orders table. This part is optional, you don't need to have it. It is just a check. If it doesn't exist, then only you create it. Otherwise, create it. So for now, just understand, create table, name of the table, and then we have these brackets, and then you write all the attribute here, what are the data types here, and what is the maximum length. There is a problem here. And then you also specify whether null is acceptable here or not. So I'm saying that in the order number attribute, null is not acceptable. So I'm writing not null. And then comma, then another attribute, its data type, maximum length. Again, I'm saying null is not acceptable in this also. And then I am writing after the comma the third attribute, because if you see in this table there are only 3 attributes, So then I am writing, this is the first, second, then I am writing the third attribute. I gave the data types. We will see what are the different data types available. I gave the maximum length, and I said, again, null is not acceptable in the quantity attribute. So always, whenever we are inserting a row, we should provide the value for order number and project number. But in case of quantity, we may not provide, because we are saying if there is no value in the insert table command, give the default value 1. Okay? And then, because our primary key is made up of true attributes, so there is a comma, and then we are writing primary key, and within the bracket we are writing which two attributes make up the primary key. And here this is actually incomplete, because we are just making one foreign key. So we are saying order number attribute of this table is a foreign key. Which attribute? Order number. And it references the order number of orders table. So that link which I was saying with hand, this one, that is translated like this. We are making a foreign key here. On which attribute we are making the foreign key? On order number we are making the foreign key. And it should reference the orders table order number attribute. And that's what it is doing. Order number should reference the order number of orders table. Right? That's what we are doing. Actually, we didn't do one more foreign key here. There should be one more foreign key here. And we need to write the same things for that. And this time, this foreign key should reference the parts table project number. So we need one more foreign key. I didn't put it intentionally, because if you forgot to put the primary key and foreign key at the time of creating the tables, we can use alter table command. And then we can add a column here, or add a foreign key, or add the primary key, or anything which we want to do, we can do with alter table. So it's not necessary that you need to establish everything with the create table command. If you forgot something, we can use the alter table command, and we can add or make the changes whatever we like to. Usually, we create everything with the attribute with the create table command. And we usually add primary key, foreign keys by using the alter table command later on. But it's up to you. It's okay. Whichever way you want to use. I think we should leave it here, and we will discuss the remaining thing next time. Next time means Friday. Yeah.
I looked at this one we got from you for task 2.
Okay.